Welcome to Season 3 of E-Commerce Fastlane, Episode 98.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by ShipBob, the best-in-class order fulfillment company for small to mid-size Shopify brands. ShipBob powers two-day and three-day shipping and fulfillment for thousands of direct-to-consumer brands. They've also been fully operational during the coronavirus across their 9 fulfillment centers in the U.S., Canada, and Europe. ShipBob is also a tech-enabled 3PL that fulfills e-commerce orders for direct-to-consumer retailers. Their mission is clear: to make your Shopify brand successful by providing best-in-class logistics so your customers don't go elsewhere. With reliable fulfillment services, warehouses near your customers, and connected technology that powers the fulfillment network, they will help improve transit times, shipping costs, and the delivery experience for your customers. So check them out today at shipbob.com. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. New episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify, or you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when a new show is being released. Now, my guest on today's episode is Jordan Brannon, who's the president and COO of Coalition Technologies. And they're a longtime Shopify design, development, and marketing agency that specializes in driving growth to small and mid-sized Shopify brands. You know, and they've actually been a partner for over a decade and are now certified in a brand new program inside Shopify Plus as a digital marketing agency partner. They're really, really well known inside the Shopify world for being able to support a lot of very complex, very high value SEO focused migrations from other platforms onto Shopify. Today, I believe they're close to and are over 200 team members, and they're supporting businesses through digital marketing and, as I mentioned, design, development, and then ongoing maintenance of these sites. Great timing, I think. The whole pandemic and things are starting to open up and people are starting to think about what sort of ways can I position my brand from a marketing strategy or a potential redesign. You'll learn today that Jordan and his team have a lot of skill sets to be able to help you grow and scale. So let's jump in and learn more. So hi, Jordan. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
So I mentioned a tiny bit at the top of the show, but on a high level, I'd love to hear it in your own words. I know you do a lot, but what does Coalition Technologies do and what sort of problem does it solve for Shopify store owners?
Really, when we started Coalition, it was coming out of the experience of running our own e-commerce stores. And one of the pain points we experienced was it just seemed like we were constantly in search for the next contractor or the next agency to be able to provide or receive sort of a holistic level of service. And so Coalition's name, our founding principles, they're really oriented around this idea that a third-party agency could simplify your processes, it could improve your ROI, and certainly we believed it a great agency would allow small to mid-sized e-commerce businesses to really focus on what they're doing well and start to differentiate and grow in an increasingly competitive market. And so specifically, I think to Shopify store owners, we've got a really fantastic team of Shopify developers in-house. They've been with us for an average of 6 years building on Shopify. So we've just got a lot of vertically aligned in-house knowledge. And I've been able to apply that development practice with a marketing outcome in mind. And so we've got some really great marketing case studies that show that we know how to grow e-commerce sales.
Beautiful. I'll make sure in the show notes for this episode, I'll have links to a lot of those case studies because they are quite interesting. And I do subscribe to your newsletter. I'll put all those links in there too. There's lots of really great content you're producing. And some great case studies to share with the audience today. So let's dig in a little bit about your journey. I'm always fascinated why people build what they build and why they have service businesses or product businesses. And so let's talk about, you know, what you believe uniquely positions you and the founding team, which I understand is your brother, to have, I guess, number one, to have the desire, and number two, to have the expertise to benefit Shopify merchants.
Yeah, I mean, I think for my brother, Joel, and I, who Joel's our company founder, we've really been immersed in e-commerce from high school on. I won't tell you how old I am, but that does mean we've been in e-commerce for quite a while.
Yeah.
Joel was a passion programmer. He got into programming and website design development as a hobby, and was building websites, you know, in the 90s as sort of a kind of a focus area for himself. In college, we had a drop shipping e-commerce store that we stood up to help cover the cost of room and board and tuition, and started doing some blogging, really oriented around analyzing and evaluating our experience as an e-commerce merchant. And so we talked a lot about e-commerce softwares, and we started talking about our marketing, how we were approaching marketing, and we started to get opportunities to do some work for other brands that wanted to see growth and wanted to get to sort of the right e-commerce platform picked for them. And so after some stints with other companies, we pivoted and we started Coalition in 2009. At the time, we were pretty unique in the fact that we were end-to-end from a solutions provider standpoint at that small business scale. Even today, I think a lot of agencies that sort of offer a lot of services just don't have the expertise to be able to support that. And so that's been a key differentiator for us. We've got some unique things to us. Our company performance metrics are all aligned to our client outcomes and performance, top to bottom. So regardless of what your role is with Coalition, your individual career development goals and compensation are actually tied to how well our clients are performing because they're working with you. And we've also been able to scale really well. We've got some really fantastic and unique things about our hiring and training process. And so as e-commerce has exploded, we exploded with it. And we were able to avoid a lot of the typical pitfalls when you're in a service business and you need to hire and train quickly. And so we've been able to hit that 200 count really pretty smoothly, and are looking forward to 1,000 here in the next few years.
Congrats on that growth. And you're right. It is quite rare to have a seasoned veteran in the Shopify ecosystem that, as you're saying, does end-to-end, so really understands Shopify core platform, understands the Plus platform and its value prop of Launchpad and Flow and scripts and increased API calls and all the benefits and checkout.liquid and all the things that you get over there on the Plus side, on top of understanding business outcomes and being able to align what the brand's goals are long-term and then having the right KPIs and I'm sure some kind of dashboards and just really analytics in general, just helping the brands get to the next level. It sounds very similar to the role that I have day-to-day as a merchant success manager with the brands that I manage. So definitely in alignment there. So marketing services in general, I mean, it can be pretty diverse. And obviously your agency does a lot. Are you able to maybe share a couple, two or three big marketing tips that you believe are important in today's climate?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the conversations we have since we kind of do it all in terms of digital marketing, one of the top things we like to raise awareness on is digital marketing. There is so many different practices there. You have to keep in mind that not all of them are going to work for you. Certain products, certain audiences, they just may not be best achieved and promoted through particular types of digital marketing. And so a lot of early stage e-commerce brands, they've seen the success stories, or maybe they've had some success, and they think the way to kind of grow more is to introduce an additional marketing channel. And that's really not always the case. Stick to what works. And really be careful as you sort of look at layering in a new marketing practice, because again, you really want to make sure it does align well with you as a brand and with what your goals are. Second, I really do want to make sure that I see this as a big problem. Make sure you really understand the reporting and analytics that you're depending on to make your business decisions. E-commerce brands can grow very rapidly, and that sometimes means that we are running on a bit more of an immature organizational experience and education around digital marketing and reporting and analytics. And so it's really a worthwhile place to invest and not simply depend on third-party tools or people to kind of provide. And then I think finally, when you're kind of earlier in that e-commerce venture, hold branding a bit more loosely. A lot of times you don't necessarily have a really perfect picture about who your audience is, how they're going to respond. You may not even have enough of an audience to really understand how the brand that you're pitching is going to scale. Mm-hmm. A lot of e-commerce companies, I think, die because they overcommit to a branding story before right. they've really been able to understand how to differentiate themselves with product and other value propositions in their particular category.
It sounds like the mantra of test and analyze and then pivot and retest again would be something that, you know, you could share that sort of learning today with people. Is that's what people should be doing instead of getting caught up just adding on a new sales channel, think that your revenue is going to go up. It's like, no, let's focus on the basics and let's not get overwhelmed with the data, but let's at least analyze some of the data. I mean, I have something on my wall here that I keep as a reminder to me every day about with winning KPIs, these key performance indicators. And, you know, really start with the strategy and aligning your numbers that are important and be very specific and define the actions. And then finally, keep improving. I mean, is that similar to the way your agency works?
Yeah, absolutely. And we really make a big point when we are starting to onboard a new client of establishing like, hey, what is the actual goal? How does that goal relate back to our services? What are the KPIs then that we can provide for you that help you reach that goal? Because certainly digital marketing, sometimes you can feel like you're hitting some good metrics, but they may not support that end goal. And so we always want to make sure there is a really top thread from my goal as an e-commerce brand and where I want to be at the end of this year and in 5 years, and the little different increments that we go along with in the next few months and the next few years to achieve that. We really have to make sure there's a kind of a tight alignment between them.
So there's quite a few strategies and tactics, obviously, in digital marketing. Are you able maybe to share generally what sort of tactics or strategies are working well today versus maybe some that can be a little bit dicier?
Great question. So paid advertising, if you're a startup and you're on limited budget, can always be challenging to jump into. One challenge there is a lot of startup brands are working with such a small budget that it's really hard to get a meaningful data set that comes out mm-hmm. of any kind of paid advertising. And that means that you're still sort of, you're putting money out there and you're not necessarily understanding why you're getting the results that you are. And so that can be a really challenging one. So I think if you are going into a paid advertising strategy as part of how you want to grow your e-commerce brand, be really clear about the type of ad campaign you're running, the goals of that campaign. Make sure that you've got sort of a really narrowly focused test objective. And that way, even if you don't get the perfect ROAS, a return on ad spend from your first get-go, you at least have learned something about what you're doing. And that can inform future work. And that actually is a pretty valuable outcome. SEO is almost always a good investment.
Yeah.
If your product is really sort of something that has a generic description to it, and there's maybe a larger cross-section of your audience who are looking for a generic solution to a problem or something that they're looking for. If you're sort of inventing a category or you're sort of redefining a category and you're trying to come up with, you know, a new way of approaching a kind of an existing product, SEO may not necessarily be where you want to invest a continuous budget early. And so that's sort of something contextually to have. And then I think also we see a lot of brands right now coming in and really putting a lot of budget into their message-based marketing without having the audience. And so if you're going to do message-based marketing, make sure you have a really solid plan and budget to develop the top of funnel so you can start to get people into an email and SMS communication cycle where you can actually begin to generate some transactions as an outcome of that. And then I think with social, I think the big thing is just, especially in today's climate with people spending so much time on social platforms, my big question is the content that you're going to be producing really going to entertain and engage people? So much of what gets ignored on social and many brands are still producing is this really hollow and empty content that is just all about pitching a product, and it just doesn't capture anybody's attention, doesn't engage their mind at all. And so I think that's really is a key thing, especially in sort of this semi-quarantine, will we or won't we be unlocked down sort of climate to mm-hmm. really focus on trying to capture someone's attention, be entertaining, be engaging there.
Yeah, I love these points. And I've just scrambled down a bunch of notes here. And it made me think of a couple others too that I might add to, or I'll add on to the the messaging solution, a message-based marketing. For example, I think there's one solution, Octane AI is one of them, but there's a few others out there in this space, and they do a really great job. And one thing that they've been talking lately about using Facebook Messenger as a way of interacting and building that top of funnel awareness is they have a new product. It's been out for 6 months or so called Click to Messenger Ad. And apparently what's great about it is you still get that one-on-one relationship with the prospect, and really it really allows you, you pay a small fee for that original opt-in, and then you have an opportunity to continue this dialogue because it's a Facebook Messenger opt-in. And so it's much cheaper than maybe just doing regular Facebook ads for top of funnel campaigns. So this is one thing that you might want to think about. I will put that definitely in the show notes because it's a great idea. It's called the Click to Messenger Ad product. And then another idea that I'm sure that you guys execute a lot on too internally or through partner solutions is through influencer marketing. If you have some customers, so you have a little bit of product market fit, there are some really great tools. Some are free, some are very affordable, you know, like Caro or Wooly.com or even Grin. There's really great tools that will allow you to look at your customers. And then these tools through APIs, they go and figure out what the social footprint is of your customers. So they already love you already. They already made a purchase. And then you can set some filters in these tools to then say, hey, wait a second here. If they fit into the type of person that I wouldn't mind building a relationship with, potentially as an influencer to help share the message about how great my products are, you could set filters and say, hey, if they have 10,000 followers on Instagram, maybe they need to be flagged somewhere in Shopify or in through this tool. And then you're able to do a personal outreach or throw something extra in the box. So I think those are two kind of ideas. Have you seen that sort of thing in your agency at all?
So Facebook Messenger based marketing has been really high in terms of engagement. Yeah. Anything that people are going to feel like communicates value from you to them as an e-commerce brand to your customer or prospective customer is a huge way to drive not only marketing outcomes, but also to really look at increasing transaction opportunities. And so love both of those suggestions. So super, super solid and definitely ones that you can grow off of.
And you did mention a little bit earlier about, you're pushing back a bit about the branding side of it, I guess more for these early stage brands. You know, there really are a lot of great books and there's a lot of blogs out there that really tell entrepreneurs that, you know, branding is everything. And actually, I've even read a book recently from Donald Miller, Building a Story Brand. And so why do you kind of go against that kind of popular advice?
I think what I'm really arguing against is the mindset that a lot of people have about what branding is. If you can't really describe who your company is in a way that differentiates it from everybody else in the market meaningfully, then you don't have a brand. And I think a lot of times what we see coming in from startups is what we are bringing to the market as a brand is really about things that I think frankly are meaningless in terms of sort of, you know, really creating some definition. So color schemes and font and particular styling treatments for photography, very rarely are those types of things branding. And a lot of e-commerce companies and startups and founders that we work with, when we ask them about what their brand is, they really ultimately kind of tie it back to sort of these things that are really semi-arbitrary. And so we like to try and get them to step back and sort of unfreeze from sort of this stylistic focus on branding and really think about how you can make your product, your marketing, the experience of your company unique within your vertical. Once you sort of start to identify what that is, you can start to build elements that support that story. And then you also have to always hold that, I think, loosely, because as soon as a competitor starts to see you get some momentum with that branding in sort of the way that I've defined it, they're going to copy you, right? There's going to be 50 different lookalikes that show up to sort of replicate what you're doing. And so you really have to be ready to evolve. And for companies that hold their branding too tightly, it becomes a really difficult thing to succeed on. And so we kind of, again, push back on that a little bit, probably more than what you'll hear others doing.
Yeah, and I've read a few things lately, these sort of questions of branding guidelines and just branding guides in general and logo creation and things like that. You're right. You almost turn into a pixel pusher, so to speak, and you almost get really caught up in things that really are not going to make any difference at all. Like, what's your brand promise, or what's your mission statement, or understanding potential personas of your target audience? I mean, in your early stage, you don't know who your personas are because you're not selling very much. You don't have meaningful data yet, but you learn that sort of thing as you go, and your tone of voice, and you can get into a lot of crazy things, like you said, like color palettes and typography. Like, there's so many things. On the flip side, it's like if you have great product and you are able to differentiate yourself and you're okay to continue to iterate on that, because you're right, people are going to copy you 100%. I've noticed it even with my own podcast. I've seen people now that are stealing, I'll say it bluntly, the format and a lot of things about this show. But at the end of the day, though, I think there's merit a little bit in when someone is plagiarizing you, because they could steal from anybody. They choose to steal from you. And as odd as that sounds, that just proves to them that they believe that you're a thought leader in the space or a leader in that space. Some things you just can't deal with that as much anymore.
Yeah, there's the imitation is the sincerest form of flattery argument out there. I think the key is you still have to be able to do something and offer something that others can't.
Right.
I think if you look at sort of what really ties back a lot of the big e-commerce success stories to their branding, and a lot of times it's almost a value proposition more than it is about those persona stories and the you know, like I said, the pixel chasers. And those sorts of things are harder to replicate and harder to rip off. Color scheme, photography styling, font selection, almost all of that's just plainly available in terms of your HTML and CSS. And so it's not hard to copy. And so really, we want to be focused on things that provide sort of a meaningful differentiation in your vertical.
Perfect. So let's talk about SEO. It's on everybody's mind. It has the highest ROI, I believe, probably on any tactic, if done right, with the right brand. And so let's talk about, and it's a major service line for you too. So are you able to share more about how you believe people should execute an SEO? Like, when is it right? When is it not right to start down that journey?
Yeah. I mean, SEO is one of those huge promise, huge opportunity types of marketing. It's getting bigger because one of the things that we're finding is people are increasingly relying on search tools to navigate almost exclusively. Mm-hmm. People are kind of moving into maybe a post-menu world in a lot of ways. And so either explicit text search or image search or search by audio input with a home speaker or using filters inside of an e-commerce catalog, all of these things tie back to search engines in some way, shape, or form. And so it'll be here for a long time. It is a high ROI opportunity if done right and done in the right categories. Mm-hmm. I think all brands in e-commerce really need to be mindful of the fact that search engines provide a new audience opportunity, but they also play a big role in how your company is perceived in the market. And so regardless of whether or not SEO is sort of the big investment for you to develop a new audience, you do need to be aware that a search engine like Google is going to have a lot to say about you. And so thinking about doing what we call reputation management to help ensure that your brand and the search results that are attached to your brand are desirable is something you should have in mind very early as a startup or as a growing e-commerce brand. I think also all e-commerce brands can think about how to describe their product or their service generically. If someone doesn't know who I am, or they forgot my company name or my product name, how would they describe what we do to a friend or to a family member or someone they want to refer to us? And so being able to provide a solid generic keyword focus to the different content you're creating can happen very naturally. It doesn't require a big SEO budget and commitment, but it does provide a lot of long-term benefit when you start to think in that particular context. And then I think, frankly, there really is no excuse not to be savvy about what the basics of on-site SEO or technical SEO are. If you can't address those needs directly, you should at least be aware of them. And there are agencies like ours that are certainly available to help either on a one-time basis or an ongoing basis as it's appropriate, to really kind of make sure those things are done correctly.
Yeah, and there are some basics that are done with most themes inside Shopify from an SEO perspective, in just the way it's designed with, you know, meta tag, you know, titles and descriptions and, you know, and some basics. But then site architecture and other customer experience like things can certainly get in the way of proper SEO. So let's talk about, maybe for those listening today, what really is technical SEO or this on-site SEO? Are you able to maybe summarize a little bit for the non-technical listeners today?
Yeah. So technical SEO, we really describe as being SEO activities that are really geared towards making your site or your digital property more accessible, more understandable, and better differentiated or categorized for search engines themselves. You can think about things like page load speed as being beneficial to your consumer, but they also are beneficial to search engines in terms of, they're trying to crawl a large cross section of the web. And if they can easily access the meat of your content quickly and then be able to find additional interlinks between different pages of your site, their indexing process becomes that much easier. So things like page load speed geared towards, again, search engine crawlers, sitemaps, specific crawl instructions you may have optimized inside of your store, structured markup, all of those sorts of elements, title tags, meta descriptions are really what we would consider more of a technical SEO practice. On-site SEO is really more the things that not only can encompass some of the technical SEO items, they can be overlapping is a way of saying it, but it also covers things like your content marketing strategy, the UX and UI of your website and how people are navigating between pages, or the specific content that you're featuring inside of a particular page. All of those things that are really consumed by your audience through your site, and a search engine is going to try and kind of compare to what they think a best practice is, that's where we start to think about on-site SEO coming into play. And this can cover things like, you know, whether you have a video content or reviews or a longer form description on a product page, all of these sorts of things fall into that on-site SEO category.
And so do you think that all Shopify entrepreneurs, should they be doing something in the technical or on-site SEO market, like right out of the box?
Absolutely. I mean, there's really no reason not to. Technical and on-site SEO, like you touched on, are typically something that is resourced very easily through Shopify. There's a lot of tools that are built in. There's a lot of great tutorial content. Most Shopify themes are really set up for some basics in these particular areas. And so I really do think that any sort of e-commerce entrepreneur brand should have in mind technical and on-site SEO. They also are often really in some ways kind of incorporated into the things that you're doing for other marketing and sales strategies. And so it really is one of those things that if you educate yourself and have in mind that technical and on-site SEO best practice while you're just doing basic catalog population, basic product merchandising, a lot of that is going to have the opportunity to benefit your SEO as a result. Again, it may not be your main focus for your marketing investment in an ongoing fashion SEO, that is. Mm-hmm. But certainly when you've set them up well, you've maintained them, and you have a good practice and behavior there, typically there's not a lot of downside to that effort.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Because that's what I do typically when I, you know, onboard a new brand. One of the first things I do is do a technical SEO audit with that particular brand. That, you know, an agency partner could have built it, or they built it in house. And you'd be surprised at the amount of errors and things that are easy. I call them low hanging fruit. Very simple things to fix. These, you know, 404 errors where they just go to, like, you know, some page in infinity, or little things like, you know, titles and meta tag, like descriptions are too long, and they just don't look good in search. And there's a lot of like basic technical things that can be organized with a few different tools that are available through Shopify apps or through some tools that you can buy. You kind of run that through. I do that as a value add, just as onboarding. And that's kind of a one-off. Let's get that part out of the way. And I also like what you said too, is that once the team is educated about best practices from an SEO technical perspective, then all of your content production and anything moving forward, you're always thinking about the customer experience, but you're also thinking from Google's perspective also about how do I make sure that pages are aligned together, linkable from within the site, and then using the right keywords that resonate with the person that's on the page, but then also for Google's perspective also.
Absolutely. I mean, I think in a lot of this, it just is about informing your team or whomever is helping you with that work. Maybe it's just you putting some details and some little processes down for the people that you're working with. It just creates this really good sort of current that is in favor of successful SEO outcomes. And it really gives you an advantage because, like you said, it's always shocking to me how many brands with very successful e-commerce outcomes can have overlooked basic SEO or lost sight of it for a period of time. And so it's really, really a competitive advantage to you if you make that part of your discipline.
And I'm going to add one more thing to the mix because it happened recently was I guarantee you people listening today don't log in consistently enough or ever into Google's Search Console.
Definitely. Yeah. And there's huge tool. This is Google's way of telling you why it doesn't think you should rank or why it thinks you should rank. And so being active and engaged in Search Console is a huge, huge opportunity.
Not to mention it keeps about 3 months worth of query data. It takes a look at, you know, these are the keywords that people are actually using to find you. So that's a good starting point that maybe I need to enhance the content on these pages that Google has given me a lot of credit for. So I think that's quite helpful. And also it's nice to see if there's certain pages that aren't being crawled correctly. Usually it's mobile first strategy now for Google's crawler. Used to be desktop, but I think as of the last couple of years, it's flipped over to a mobile crawler. And so, 80% of traffic is more mobile now anyway, so it kind of makes sense. But it's good to go in there. So if you've not done it, if you have a Google Analytics account, there's ways authorizing your store, validating your store, and getting into Google Search Console and having a look to see what's in there and make sure your sitemap, seeing pages that aren't being crawled incorrectly, and it can really help you tweak a few things. And you're able to export this data out. Since it only keeps it for 3 months, you can export it out for other analysis and moving forward.
Yeah, and it's also a great place to find sort of quick wins. So again, taking a look at those queries and saying like, hey, I'm actually getting a decent number of impressions. My clicks here aren't super great. Thinking about optimizing whichever page is ranking for that query to have a more aggressive pitch for that click in the title tag, in the meta description, can help you get those people who are seeing your listing, your product listing inside of a search result. Yeah. Getting them to actually click through and then engage with the product. So there's a lot of little opportunities like that where kind of keeping an eye on those reports and understanding them, you can really turn those into a very, very monetizable win very quickly.
Awesome. So Jordan, this show has a diverse range of listeners. And, you know, if you were to give some advice today for, let's say, early stage e-commerce entrepreneurs. So their store is powered by Shopify. They're probably on Shopify Core Basic. They're kind of doing their thing. But what sort of advice would you give them to help them to continue to grow?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is be thinking about what happens when you do grow. So many kind of startups and entrepreneurs are so focused on how to generate the growth. The moment they start to experience it, they just aren't ready and they're not in a position where they can continue to allow that growth to happen. One of the things that really helped us grow from two people in an apartment in Venice Beach to an agency of 200 people was the mindset that growth was going to happen and we needed to plan for it. Early on, we were really diligent about writing down our processes. We started writing down why we made the decisions we did as a two-person team. We started creating the semblance of a training program, even when we only had three or four people. Sometimes we would just simply flip on a webcam and do a recording of our meetings as a way of generating some of our early training materials. And I think if e-commerce brands sort of take this mindset to heart of what is going to happen when I need to hire my first person or my second person or my third person or my 10th person or my 100th person, and they're really projecting sort of down the line that growth is going to happen, what they'll find is they start doing some things early that allow them to move into that phase of growth without avoiding sort of the typical trap of plateau and then stagnate and then fall off. And I think there's sort of a lot of corporate leadership training that talks about how companies, as they hit certain counts of people, really have to figure out a way to evolve or they start to dry up. And I think if you're planning for that next phase of growth as an entrepreneur, it's going to come a lot easier. And the pitfalls that come with it are really easy to avoid a lot of times. And frankly, that's where you're going to start to see your growth accelerate.
So what about those listening today that would be more considered in the mid-market, maybe even enterprise brand? They're likely on Shopify Plus. They'll have a small marketing team and they're definitely eager to grow and scale. What's the best advice that you can share today that can, you know, maybe assist this marketing team?
I think in that category, because this is really sort of our core customer, we mostly deal with these mid-market to small enterprise merchants or brands that are sort of growing into this category. The biggest challenge that we see is really a lack of prioritization for their marketing and e-commerce mm-hmm. objectives. Mm-hmm. And then there's really a lack of willingness to sort of commit to some strategies. And now this is a problem for much larger organizations. I think if you look at Google as an example, I love Google, but also they're really well known for abandoning products pretty quickly after they've launched them. Yeah. And that's sort of become characteristic of them as an organization. And it's been a meaningful barrier for them to see growth outside of that core search category. And so I think for small teams, for mid-sized companies, you often are told to pay a lot of attention for different priorities. And all of them require substantial time and effort. And I think really the thing that they as a team have to get in mind is this idea of focus and prioritization. There's this quote from Stephen Covey. It says, the main thing is to keep the main things the main thing, yeah. Which is really staying focused and keeping the number one thing at the top of your list. And as you sort of clear that startup phase, you've moved into a more mature operation. A lot of times we see the organization, the management team, the executive team start to lose sight of what the main thing is. And really, the marketing team and whoever is listening out there, part of what you have to be able to do is keep people dialed into that main thing. And so some of our brands, we have a lot of clients in fashion and beauty. One of the things that really drew people to them early, for instance, was photography. And for others, it's the product sourcing and selection. They've got a really unique mix of products that can't be found elsewhere. For others, it's Instagram content. Maybe it's social content. For others, it's SEO and it's pay-per-click. And so when you have these things that are really sort of key to your growth, a lot of times they are going to be nearer to that top of that list. Don't lose sight of them as you sort of see that growth happening. As you start to add in team members, you have bigger budgets. Always be careful to avoid pulling time and attention away from what's working best for you. And when you have those clear priorities, those clear commitments, it really helps everyone in the organization align their time and their energy and their budget in a way that does promote growth.
I love it. It's great advice. Thanks for sharing that. So what does the future look like for Coalition Technologies? Are you able to share any North Star highlights for the remainder of 2020? Any kind of new partner alignment or new innovation? And just end of the day, like how will you continue to help these Shopify brands grow and scale?
We've really been excited to be in the Shopify Plus partner program for our third year. We're part of that digital marketing initiative there. And so really excited to continue to support growing Shopify brands and brands that are at scale. Internally, we've been putting a lot of resources towards some machine learning and AI-driven initiatives that really help brands identify actionable insights and windows for SEO and paid search specifically. So looking at specific terms that are at thresholds or near thresholds of ranking where certain types of optimization maybe help them move into sort of a money spot more quickly and really kind of empowering them with resources in that category. And beyond that, we really aren't planning on changing much. We've had 10 years now under our belt. We've had year-over-year growth, and we've got, I think, really an unrivaled body of case studies. And so we're really excited to continue to drive ROI and return on ad spend for our merchants. And we'll continue to invest in finding ways to help them grow.
So, Jordan, we are nearing the end of the show for today, but do you have any closing comments or any takeaways that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
Yeah, I mean, we've covered a lot of, I think, great tips, but mm-hmm. I do want to always encourage those small and mid-sized e-commerce businesses to stay nimble, be flexible. There is a lot of things that are changing around us. And I think businesses that find ways to increment and evolve are going to be the ones that really do survive and thrive. There just is an enormous opportunity in e-commerce right now. And so just be flexible and sort of hold the reins a little bit more loosely and enjoy the ride.
Awesome. So how can people learn more about Coalition Technologies and the services that you offer?
easiest way to find us is at coalitiontechnologies.com. You can also search for SEO company. A lot of times you'll find us in search results pretty quickly that way. Yeah. But yeah, the website is definitely the best place to go initially.
Now, we did speak offline before recording today, and I understand that you would like to offer our listeners a little extra bonus. Are you able to share some of the details on that?
Yep. So we've got a couple of offers that we put together for the podcast listeners. We're going to put together an action plan for listeners who reach out to us for their website SEO. This is created for you by our senior digital strategists. So this is not sort of here's a block of paper that you don't know what to do with. This is really something where we're going to help you say this is top priority all the way down to low priority and why. So that's, I think, a really helpful resource. We're also, as an alternative, offering up to 4 hours of design and development time from our Shopify team. That goes for a premium these days, but we're willing to put that time in there and invest in your business and give you a little taste of what working with us looks like as a design and development partner.
Wow, that's very kind. And so what I'll do is I will have this in the show notes. I will redirect. So it'll be ecommercefastlane.com/coalition. And that's going to redirect to a landing page with either one of these offers that you can take advantage of today, either free kind of a step-by-step action plan for SEO for your website or offering up to 4 hours of development time. I think that's fantastic. Thank you so much for offering that. And one thing that I've noticed by recording today is it seems like you're in real tight alignment with wanting to help Shopify brands grow and scale. I mean, Shopify's mission really is to make commerce better for everyone. It seems very clear to me that's exactly what your team is all about. And I just wanted to personally thank you for taking time to come on the show today and sharing your obvious passion and expertise and, you know, and really giving back to the entrepreneur and the Shopify ecosystem. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. We've been around with Shopify for a long time, and e-commerce is how we paid for school and how we've fed our families. And so we are really passionate about helping others do the same.
Well, have yourself an awesome day. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.
This episode was brought to you by ShipBob, one of the fastest growing tech companies in America that's powering the direct-to-consumer revolution. Join over 3,000 e-commerce brands that choose ShipBob as their fulfillment partner and start scaling your business by delivering remarkable customer experiences. You can get more details by heading on over to shipbob.com. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms. All with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.